Jesus is praying one of his final prayers before he ascends to heaven. And he says this. He says, Father, I pray for those who believe in me through the message of the ambassadors or through the message of the church of the living God. And I pray for them, Lord. I pray that all of these people here would be one. And he pauses and he says, Father, even as I am one in you and you are one in me, I pray that the church would be one. Why? So that the world may believe that thou hast sent me.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, Build a Restoring Lifestyle, where we learned that, as believers, we are a work in progress, little by little becoming the person we were created to be. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Build a Restoring Lifestyle.
And even though we're giving audience to an emotion of anger or hatred, we think it's benign and it's okay, it's harmless. When hell takes notice of that, and it's not just a division. Now, when we give audience to divisiveness, when we give audience to that and we leave it, now there comes not only divisiveness, now comes a spirit of division, an actual spirit of division. You see, hell is looking for hosts. A host is something where bacteria clings onto and there and reproduces and starts to bring infection. It's looking for a host. And hell is looking for hosts. Could it be you? Your family? The brokenness that you're unwilling to resolve? Oh, it doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong or you're right and they're wrong. It just means we're human beings and we're going to step on each other's toes. But each of us should have a lifestyle being built of restoration. God created us that way. Plants, animals, everything. He creates that way. And it's no different with us. And that's why when there's a broken relationship, isn't there a pit in your stomach? Isn't there something that just drops acid into the insides of you? You can't sleep. There's anxiety. There's frustration, disappointment. All kinds of ill effects take place. Why? Because God did not create us to function well with brokenness in relationships. We were called together. We need each other. And that's what I think the beauty of this church is that we just love being together. We just love being together. You know, you don't need a whole bunch of programs if people just like being together. You don't need any program. We just get together and have fun. But if there's broken relationships, you have to have a bigger program, a bigger program, a bigger program, better lights, bigger stuff, just to keep our attention off ourselves. But God is calling us to be a people. I want you to see how God prioritizes the beauty of people who are willing to restore, and that's just the way their inclination is. But if you don't, a spirit of division, if you keep hosting impurity, or our sexual things, you have an impure spirit that takes notice. And now you're dealing with hell. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not us that's the warfare. It's a spiritual wickedness that's looking for a host. Because you refuse to restore something. But if our proclivity is building a lifestyle of restoration, watch heaven get activated rather than hell. I'll tell you why. And that is this. You know, although we do argue a lot, Jesus said this, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say blessed are those who are always right. You know, being always right is overrated. It's overrated. You can be right all the time and have no friends. You can be right all the time and nobody goes to your funeral. You can demand to be right all the time and still go to heaven. But when you get to heaven, the angels will go, oh, look, here comes John. Oh, good night. I'm just kidding. It's another John. It's another John. But it's best for us to work overtime to keep that kind of spirit out of our home, out of our church. Because the scripture says a house divided against itself will not stand. So why is God so interested in unity? I'll tell you why. It starts in Psalm 133 and it says this. It said, how blessed and how good it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It says this, for there the Lord not invites a blessing, not offers a blessing. For there God what? Commands a blessing. When he sees people working together, overcoming problems and disagreements, that's just their proclivity. It's not that they're like real big evangelists or anything. They just say, no, I'm not going to go that way. No, I don't think, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm good. No, I'm not. I'm going to stay out of the fray because I'd rather see the Lord work and relationships stay healthy than me being right. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. And the Lord goes, whoa. He actually commands heaven. Angels, I command a blessing down on that family, on that church, on that group. Are you making it like an option? No. I command a blessing. You put a blessing there. It's that important to me. If you look in the New Testament in Matthew, it says this. It says, wherever two or more agree, as touching any one thing, it will be done. Wow, God is really prioritizing this, isn't he? But you know what the best is? It's out of Deuteronomy 32. It says this. One can set 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. I read that and I said, oh, your math is wrong. You didn't graduate from high school, Moses. No, because one should set 1,000, two, 2,000. No, it doesn't say that. One will set 1,000 to flight, two, 10 times that. I thought, what? 10 times. Listen carefully. When you are moving towards the manufacturer's specifications and how he created us in our lifestyle, God promises you a 10x power. Not two, not three. 10x power. You will have 10 times more of the reward. When you accomplish something, it'll be 10 times more rewarding. When you're working against the spiritual warfare of your children or your family, when there's unity and God sees your heart, God says, I command a 10x power to his prayers, a 10x authority to that person, that family, that marriage, because there are demons trying to come against them. There is a 10 times power that will stay the gates of hell because this person understands the power of unity. And how important that is to me. One will set 1,000 to flight. Two, how many? 10,000. Three could be 30,000. Four, 40,000. Five, 50,000. Just think, churches like ours, when there's a unity and we're saying, we're going to be working together for this. I've got to work out some problems in my life, my family, this or that. I've got to restore this, repair that. And even though it's yet to come, God sees that heart and he says, I command a blessing. You say, well, what if they don't accept the forgiveness or the restoration? Scripture says it this way. Your responsibility is to offer it. Theirs is to receive or reject. But yours, you do your part and then you're done. They might slam the door on you, but you keep yours open to them. They might not like you, but you get to say, I'm good, and leave a light on in case they return. When God says that happens, Romans 12 says it this way. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. They might not be at peace with you, but you get to be at peace with them. And so you leave your door open. They might slam theirs on you, but you keep yours open to them. And God, when he sees that, he says, I'll give you a 10 times power to your life. Because we can't control what other people do, but we can sure control what God's asked us to do. And so there comes a 10x power from God to those who say, that's what I want. But here's the other side. If you are operating while keeping and maintaining unresolved stuff, you're actually going to operate at 1/10 the power that you could have. Because if you would have done it God's way, you have 10 times. But if we don't, you have 1/10 the power. I'm wondering why some churches may not make a a big dent in the kingdom of darkness, it's probably because we're operating at 1/10 the power we could. If you have a flashlight at 1/10 the power, or you have a light in your home, 1/10 the power, like, wow, but what if it's 10 times? And God is saying, that's the ambassadors of God. That's the church of the living God. People that shine light into the darkness. And God has called us a light on a hill. Any man will not light a light and hide it under a bushel. They'll put it on a lampstand because it's going to shine the light over the city. And that's called the church of the living God. Can you say amen to that? That's what we want. God created us for that. Operate in the way God created you. It's the best lifestyle there is because you're just being you. But make sure you're the you that God created. And when you work on developing healthy relationships, even though they shut the door on you, you keep yours open, God says it'll release a 10x power on your life. But here's one of the best parts, and I'll come to this, and that is this. When we are working hard on relationships, because in the end, that's all we're going to have is relationships. Look around, folks. Everything here is going to burn except relationships. Everything burns. Relationships will be the greatest treasure there is, or the greatest regret, our choice. And so God says, let's prioritize it. Because then and only then will we fulfill the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But don't stop there. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now you have fulfilled all of the commandments. If you catch this, you'll work overtime in this area because you don't want to work at 1/10 the power. You want the 10x power of God. But here's the cool thing. It opens people's hearts when they see God's people coming together. It opens people's hearts to the gospel. When there's unity and people love each other, people peek in our windows and they go, man, I want to be a part of that ohana. I want to be a part of that group. But if they see fissures and fractures and problems and they hear about it, it's like, I don't want to be a part of that. But if there's unity, this John 17 says this. Jesus is praying one of his final prayers before he ascends to heaven. And he says this. He says, Father, I pray for those who believe in me through the message of the ambassadors or through the message of the church of the living God. And I pray for them, Lord. I pray that all of these people here would be one. And he pauses and he says, Father, even as I am one in you and you are one in me, I pray that the church would be one. Why? So that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Did you know that the authenticity of the gospel will be verified in our love for one another? And when they see that, they'll say, I'm good. I'd like to come and find out. I mean, the greatest next step in reaching the harvest is not thumping our Bible on the street corner. It's actually right here in our own lives. And when you see the priority that God puts on it, we'll work overtime because I want a 10x power of God. I don't want to be functioning at 1/10 what I could have. No. And then just by the fact that we are working hard on repairing stuff, because that's how we were made, right? From a lower to a higher, from dirty, pathogen-filled E. coli into something pure. That's just how God creates, and he created that in us. And so as we come to Christ, we say, Lord, reset our default back to the way you created us. Good, because then I'll release a 10x power on you, and people will come to Christ because you will verify the authenticity of God. So when we forgive one another, for example, is it for you or for me? No, it's for us. It's for us. So the world would believe that Jesus was truly sent by God. Let me finish with a story about that. His name was Tertullian. Tertullian was a Christian historian in about 100 AD in the Roman era. But he didn't start that way. Let me tell you how he started. In those days, about 100 AD, the Christians were being blamed for everything that went wrong, whether it would have been a plague that swept through Rome or the fires that burned the city. Christians were blamed for that. Well, they would use Christians for sport. They would huddle them up, put them in something like a coliseum, and they would have four or five lions hungry, And the leader would look at the audience and say, up or down? And they would put their thumbs downward. And this huddled group of Christians would be in the middle. And among the audience would be a man named Tertullian watching this. And he too would point his thumb downwards. At that point, they'd let one of the lions go. And the lion would come out searching, sniffing. And then when he'd see those frightened people in the middle, he would start to charge at them. And just then, one of the men from the back of that huddled group would make his way to the front and distance himself about 15 feet, 20 feet from the others and invite the mauling of the lion to his death in order to save those and protect those behind him. And then the leader would say, up or down on the second, and everyone go down, and with jeering, mocking voices, they would let a second one out, and the second lion would charge that group when another man would do the same. He'd come out in front and invite the lion to choose him to his death. And then just before the third lion would be let out, the leader would go up or down, and this time people would put their thumbs down, but not so mockingly. They'd say, and more silently, and a third one would be let out, and still another man would come forward and take on the lion. And this would happen a fourth time, and then a fifth time, until they had none left. And as they would silently leave that Colosseum, and his writing is still with us today, Tertullian would write, "See how these Christians love one another." It was at that point his heart began to change. And he would investigate Jesus, and his life would be transformed. And he became later a Christian theologian and would write much for the early church. And I think, where was it that his heart opened? Father, even as I am one in you and you are one in me, I pray that the church might be one so that the world would believe that thou hast sent me. That's it. We forgive. Is it for you or for him? It's for us, so that the world would believe. That's our heart. Be the people that God created us to be, but make sure we're the ones that he actually created. Because when he creates us to convert lower into higher. That's just the power. Well, I need more power. When that's the tilt of your heart, you will have a 10x power that God would release to you. And when that starts to happen, the world will believe that Jesus was sent from God. That's called the church. That's called New Hope. Amen. Would you stand with me as we conclude? It sure is good to see all of you and to be able to just study God's Word and hear more principles of His Word to become more and more the people He created us to be. And if you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I haven't started that journey yet, but I'd sure like to. I mean, I've been to church and I don't understand everything there is to understand, but I do know that I've got a checkered past and I would like Jesus to come into my heart. Give me a second chance. Change me into the person He created me to be. I've got lots of stuff I need to work on, but it'll only be with His help that I can complete it. If that's you, I want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to pray. But if that's you, say yes. With a raise of hand, God sees the heart that's connected to this hand. And He begins to move with your permission. Because it has to be your choice. Jesus made His choice 2,000 years ago. Next choice is yours. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you say, Wayne, I need to receive Christ. I mean, I've come to church and all, but I really want to open my heart to Jesus. Really do. Not sure how to do it, but I'd like to start. If that's you, I want you to, in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to just raise your hand. In doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. And heaven will notice that. And so will hell. They'll notice that you belong to Jesus. Make that stand today. So if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, on a count of three, raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now and let Him know. Okay? God sees those. Yeah. Yep. Yep. You too. Yep. On the sides. Up above. Yep. The Lord sees those too. You can put your hands down. And there's some of you that are Christians and you say, Wayne, I know Jesus, but there's stuff I got to resolve. I bet I've been working at 1/10 the power. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me? I'm willing. If that's you, would you, Christian, would you raise your hand? And you're saying, yeah, Lord, would you help me? Yeah, I'm willing. We're going to pray our final prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer if you would pray it after me, especially those of you that have said yes. The rest of us, let's renew our hearts to the one who created us in his image. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you created me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you to receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everybody can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, that's a cry of our hearts. Would you embrace these who've said yes? Embrace this church. May we be called in heaven ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. God bless you.
This is the story of a masterpiece in the making. Through all of my pride, the hurt, the beauty, and the breaking. 'Cause I'm not who I was, the definition of God can do anything. I am a walking, breathing miracle. Look at what grace can do. Look how love pulled me through. I made a mess, but he rearranged everything in the room. Nothing I could deserve. I don't know what you heard, but let me be the proof. Look at what grace can do. Do you believe that you're a masterpiece in the making? If there's a reason for every dead end road you've ever taken, it doesn't matter what you've ever done. Jesus can make it new. If he can change me, I know he can change you too. Look at what grace can do.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Build a Restoring Lifestyle by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there was a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams?
New Hope is a place where teachers invest into the lives of their students. A place where students come to learn and leave market ready.
For more info, register at newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638.